But I know the importance of hearing from God. So important. Because if you don't hear from God, how will you obey? You can't obey God if you don't hear him. If I lip sync to my children from across the street, they don't understand a word I'm saying. They would have to hear what I'm saying. With what has been preached in this house, I believe that none of it would be possible. We can't do any of those things unless we hear God. There's nothing that we can do without hearing the voice of God. Now, the voice of God is a unique thing, as we are going to find out. And Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing. How can you have faith if you don't hear? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The word plays a very big role in our lives. And you hear us constantly, and you hear it all the time, saying how much we must get into the word of God. It is important. It is compound that you begin to understand that you can't live a full believer's life without a dependency on the word of God. Can't be done. You will live a very shallow life as a Christian, trying to live God's life without God's word. God's word is his will. So if you're not in God's word, then you're not in God's will. So how can you walk as a believer if you don't have the word? The word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's the word. It's the word that I hide in my heart that I may not sin against God. It's the word. And so hearing becomes really large for believers in this hour. There are a lot less people hearing from God than you can imagine. I know a lot of people say they hear from God, but that. Can't believe, listen to this, you can't believe everything you hear. I said I was going to teach this. And so, as many a Christian as they say now that don't pray, because they have statistics that they take every year, that there is a small amount of Christians that even pray. There is an amount of Christians that don't even believe in heaven. Christians. And so that leads me to believe that the rank and file hearers of God is at a very low level. Then you have to understand that God is a God of purpose. Let me write that down because you need to hear that. We don't think God is a God of purpose. We think he's just God. And there's no purpose to God's doing. But God has a purpose. And contrary to thought, God's purpose doesn't always include you. See, we like to get that big head and think everything God's doing, he can't do without me. Yes, he will. God does his best work when we get out the way. Amen, somebody. God is a God of purpose. What is purpose? The Greek word for purpose is prothesis. Pro being before, thesis being set forth. Purpose is basically setting forth a standard. Prothesis. It's the same word that they use when they, in the Old Testament, would set out showbread on the table. They would set it forth for purpose, for plans. God is a God of setting forth things his way. And the reason we have maybe missing a lot of this is because television evangelism is really destroyed so much because it does not lead people to read the Word of God. In the hour that we live in, you have to read the Word for yourself. You can't believe everything you hear a preacher say on television simply because he's on television and he got a large congregation. Don't you let a large congregation fool you. You will be surprised, these large congregations, how many people really hear from God. They can't hear from God because they're too busy tuning into that man. They don't feel like they have time to have personal time to hear from God. All they can say is preach it and amen. Don't have no time to do what's being preached. They're not going to do the word. They're going to celebrate. They're going to come and throw money on the altar while the preacher's preaching. That's so indignant. Rude. Rude to God. And the preacher ain't got the guts to say, stop that. I bought something today, and every time I'm about to say something that get into your flesh, I'm going to honk it. So I'm going to do this before I say it. That way you'll be well aware. Because I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something about the Word of God and hearing the Word of God. Before we start talking about something, we're going to talk about the hearing, but we're going to elaborate more on the speaking voice today. And I want to share this with you before we get started, that when the word is preached and you get offended, it tells me and others around you that you haven't received that word in your spirit, you've received it in your flesh. And so, yep. And so when I'm on the verge of saying something, I'm going to give you a warning. That means guard your flesh. Open your spirit. That's what that means. And so we wanna do things properly and we wanna do things right. Amen. Let's pray first. Father, we give you praise. We thank you right now, Lord God, for truth that looses us, frees us, gives us your abundant joy. Your word is such a great encouragement. It is designed to build us up, designed to take us to places we've never been, causes us to want to walk like our Father, causes us to be imitators of our Father. Lord, we thank you for the word of truth. Lord God, and when we're offended, charge it to my flesh, not to my spirit. And Father, we give you praise right now. We thank you for opening the windows of heaven, allowing heaven to pour down upon us. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God is a God of purpose. I may interject a few things that I shouldn't be interjecting probably till next week, but I'm going to interject them if the Spirit moves me. Because this is a serious, serious note that we're on right now. Hearing from God is serious. You need to hear from God. But see, the generation and the time we live in, people hear from God in the strangest ways. And all we have to do when we hear from God is examine the scripture. Find that for me. Find what you're telling me in the scripture. You have to be so sure when you hear from God, especially when people come to you and say, God told me to encourage you. God told me to follow you. God told me to join your ministry. God told me to hold your hands up, Pastor. God told me to love you, Pastor. And then about 6 months later, they say, God told me to go. Pastor, you know what that's telling me? It's telling me that God is schizo. It's telling me that God is schizo, schizophrenic. Schizo. S-C-H-I-Z-O. Y'all looking at me like you don't know what a schizophrenic is. But that's not God. Revelation. Let me get my books right here. Because these are the scriptures that we need to be aware of. Revelation chapter 2. These are jumping off scriptures. Okay? Revelation 2. Seven, 11, 17, 29, chapter 3, verse 6, thirteen, 20, and 22. You know what he says in every one of those scriptures? One thing. Hear. He who has an ear to hear. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now Jesus reemphasizes this often in the Gospels. But in Matthew you see the importance of hearing. Because he puts it in here too often. And anytime you see Jesus do anything more than twice, it's extra important. Now he's saying, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, or to the church, I should say. What is he saying to the church? Now, when he says to the church, that means that he overrides what he's saying to you. Don't get mad. Oh, oh. He overrides what he's saying to you. Because God is a God of what? Purpose. And everything that he does has a purpose. And the major factor in what God's creatorial aspect is in the New Testament church. What is he saying to the church? What is he saying to the body? And when he does say something to you, when he says it to you, you know what he's doing? He's saying it to you to see if you line up with what he's saying to the church. Good God from Zion. So when you tell somebody you heard from God, you got to investigate what you heard and ask the Lord, does that go with the vision of the house that I'm in? Does that go with the vision of this house? What you're telling me, Lord? Or is it some personal thing that you designed for yourself? Because my wife taught on something and it really jumped out at me a couple of weeks ago. She talked about our desires overriding God's desire. We can want something so bad and we'll actually say God said it. God said this. God told me this. You're overriding God's desire because you got such a desire yourself. Because every time you hear a message preached, guess what? You want it so bad. You want this thing so bad for yourself that when the word is preached, anything you can find that fits your desire, you say amen. I'm talking to the church. We have so many church divisions simply because there are too many people hearing from God in opposite directions. If you hear from God, I'm supposed to be teaching this. When you hear from God, what you hear from God is supposed to put you in motion of a flow with the church that you're in. You're supposed to flow with the ministry that God has birthed you into. Half of the people come and talking about God told me, don't even know the vision of the house. Don't even know the vision of the house, but God speaks to him. Jesus said, he that has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Jesus in Luke said, take heed to what you hear. So we should be a people who are careful with our listening. We should be careful in our listening. Okay, so we know about the hearing. We're going to talk about hearing, but in order to understand hearing from God, we have to know that God speaks. Amen. That's the first thing we got to jump. We got to jump over that hurdle. God talks. Amen. Huh? Yes. I'm not trying to dispute that God doesn't talk to people. I know he does, but he's a God of purpose. We treat God as if he just talked just to be talking. You're getting God mixed up with your next door neighbor. Or your friends on your job. Sometimes, I don't know why we do this, we always equate the way we do things with God as if he does the same thing we do. But Isaiah said it clear. He said, my ways are not your ways. Stop trying to make me seem like I'm down there with you. Talking like I'm coming down there and act like you. My ways are not your ways. He said, in fact, my ways are higher than your ways. So what we have is a nation of churches that everybody just doing what they want to do. Everybody doing what they want to do. People in church doing acting any kind of way they want to act. And my wife said this last week. She said that you can actually see wickedness going on in the ministry, and yet you're too proud to stop it. You don't even want to say that's bad. That's wrong. That's wrong ministry. That's wrong ministry. Won't say a word. We'd rather live in that just for the sake of saying, I'm a good old boy. I'm the pastor's friend. I'm a leader in the house. I'm a big tither. Mm-hmm. And so what we do, we end up just compromising God's work. We compromise God's work a lot. And so we want to talk about the speaking voice. Because you can't hear unless you know he talks. And when I say know that he talks, you have to know it within yourself. You can't trust anybody, can't put it on anybody else. You need to know that God speaks, and he speaks now. Somehow people believe that God spoke enough and then he closed the book and stopped talking. No. He may have, in his creatorial doings, may have rested on a day after he completed his creatorial act. He may have rested, but God never stops talking. And I'm going to show you that God speaks in a way that will really grab your attention, and you're already aware of it, but it hadn't been revealed to you. Go to Revelation 3 and 20. Wow. Thank you. Guess what? Can I share you something this while you're going to Revelation 20? Can I share this with you that God is a God of purpose? And that God's plans override ours. And when God speaks a thing, he speaks it according to his purpose. See, God always does the thing that benefits him. I know that sounds vain, but that's glory. See, that's the way glory is. Glory is going to benefit glory. God knows what's best. That's why he doesn't tell us everything. Because we'll run with something. And they haven't even heard all of it yet. God talks to us, but he talks in pieces. Somebody sit down and tell me God told him a whole paragraph. I said, what God did you talk to? Told you a whole paragraph of stuff. If he talked to you in a paragraph, how do you have time to do what he just told you? Now, another thing is this. If he talked to Abraham every now and then, you're telling me he talked to you all the time when Abraham was his man, and he talked to Abraham every now and then. told him, get away from your family, get away from your country, get away from your kindred, and then come back and talk to him until later. Years later. And I'm going to tell you what he did. He did this real good like. He told Abraham, don't take anybody with you. He took Lot. God didn't talk. I didn't tell you to bring Lot. I'm not saying nothing to you. He didn't speak again to Abraham until Lot left and went to Sodom. Check the Bible. God didn't talk to him no more. But we live in a generation where people hear God regardless. Something wrong with that. Something wrong with that. He told Abraham, I was going to give you a son, and then left, and then come back and talk to him until 14 years later. 14 years later, he came back and talked to him. How many of you would feel good about that? If God spoke to you something, you didn't hear nothing from him for 14 years. See, you got to know that when he speaks in sentences. And the sentences sometimes can be drawn out over a period of years. That's why we are encouraged to wait on the Lord. Amen. You got to wait on God. God didn't talk to us because we want him to. God talks whenever he feels like it. Talk when he feels like it because he's God and we're not. Sometimes we just try to push his button, make it seem like he owes us something to talk to us. Amen. We tell him how long we fast. Tell him how much we prayed. Tell him how we've been given to the poor. And we always want to tell him how much we tithe. Like that shakes heaven. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He said, if I needed something, I wouldn't ask you for it. I wouldn't ask you for something even if I needed it. That's what God said. And so sometimes we can get so overboard thinking that God is our good old bosom buddy instead of the awesome God that created everything out of nothing. Out of nothing. And how did he do it? Spoke it. He spoke it. He spoke everything into existence. He's showing us how to do it as his children. He spoke everything into existence. That's why the Lord said earlier today that we got to change the way we talk. Because the way we talk is not productive. It's not bringing anything back. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak are spirit and life. Jesus is saying, my words get it done. My words get it done. My words are spirit. They go places where your words can't go. My words go places where your words can't go. See, because Jesus walked in the spirit, so he spoke in the spirit. How many of you want to walk in the spirit and not talk in the spirit? You got to have both. If you walk in the spirit, you better learn how to talk in the spirit. Because your kind of language that you take in the spirit realm will not get anything done. Flesh can't accomplish nothing in the spirit. So when you're hearing a word from God, you're hearing two things. You're hearing a word that may touch your flesh, and you're hearing a word that may be spiritual. You have to make up your mind right then. Am I going to get mad with God because of what he's saying? Or am I going to receive the spirit of his word? Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Behold. Now, he also, when he says behold, he's also saying listen. I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice, you will open the door. And you will let me come in and have dinner with you. I'll sup with you. Now, you're looking at a knock. Then you're listening to a voice. So you're listening twice. You have to listen to hear the knock. Oh, my God. Then you have to listen to hear his voice. So he's given us a double standard on hearing. He's trying to show us how he speaks. See, when he knocks on the door, he's speaking and he's just encouraging. He said, don't you need Jesus? You unsaved, but he knocks on the door of your heart and he'll ask the question, don't you need Jesus? You're not saved yet, but don't you need Jesus? See that, God Almighty. See, that word is a word that's always in the atmosphere. God's word is always, ever since the book of Genesis, God has released his speaking voice throughout the land. There's always a voice. It's just the door he's knocking on. That word is everywhere. When you weren't saved, God, you heard a voice and said, God told me not to do that. I think it was God told me not to go down there, but I went. See, those are words that's out there. This world is full of words. The atmosphere is full of God's word. That's why, good Lord, Pastor, that's why he upholds all things by the word of his power. He keeps things in motion because his word is in the atmosphere, keeping trees growing, keeping water flowing, keeping lights on, keeping people living, keeping birds singing, keeping animals living. God's word is in the atmosphere and it produces life. And sometimes we misunderstand, but it's basically just a knock on the door. And then Jesus said, if you hear me knock, open the door. Open the door. See, you got to look at this because he is the door anyway. He knocking and he's the door anyway. So what is he saying? If you would just let me in. If you just let me in, what you heard is nothing of what I'm going to tell you. I'm about to tell you more than that. Everything that you've been hearing has just been my voice loosed in the wilderness, loose over the earth. It's been loose ever since Genesis. Okay. Listen. When he spoke everything into being, he had a plan for man. It wasn't consisting of words. It consisted of thoughts. Help me, Father. He spoke to Adam by thoughts. He didn't speak verbally to Adam until after Adam sinned. Jeremiah said, the words that I think towards you. See, God thinks his words. Why? Because his words are in the atmosphere. And if God thinks them, they just come. I don't have to talk to you. You're not a sinner. I can just speak. Because how can he do that? Because a word is just a thought expressed. And when he said, let us make man in our image, man came out of him. So man could hear God while he was in him. And when God, when God spoke him out, nothing changed. He still had the life of God in him. So he'll think something to Adam. It wasn't to Adam's sin that God had to speak. And when God spoke to him in Genesis chapter 3, you know what God said? Where are you? He spoke, where are you? And they let you know how God's voice was already unleashed. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve heard. The voice of God walking in the cool of the evening. The voice was already out there doing what it's supposed to do. Even though Adam and Eve sinned, the word of God was sustaining everything. Sustaining life. Sustaining trees and birds. Sustaining light. Sustaining water. And they heard the voice walking through the garden. They heard his voice. They heard his voice. And as soon as they heard his voice, they knew something was wrong. So they heard that voice, and then they heard his voice. That voice is the voice that's already unleashed in the earth. But that voice said, "Where art thou?" Oh, my. So his word is out there. You need some proof that his word is not out there? Guess what Ezekiel said. Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 32, he said, "I heard his voice, and it was the sound of many rushing waters." His voice is in the water. His voice is in the elements. When Paul was knocked off of his horse, they said they heard a sound that sounded like thunder. But Paul heard the voice. Many of you right now heard God's voice when he told you not to do something. And it wasn't even his voice coming from him. It was just the voice that he got in the atmosphere. The atmosphere voice of God was following you around. As soon as you started to do something, the voice of God said, "Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't go there. You ought not do that. I'm telling you, don't do that." The word is out there. Jesus said the words I speak are spirit. That means they're out there doing what Jesus said they should do. The Bible says in Hebrews that the words were framed by the word of his power. He framed the world by his spoken voice. How can you not want to hear when you have a God like that? That's what he's saying. That's what he said. God is a God of order. God is a God of purpose. The power of God's voice. In Genesis chapter 1, let me show you what he did. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, God used this twin phrase. This twin phrase, he says, "And God said." And it was so. Said. And it was so. I love the way he put that in there. Because anytime you have a problem believing God, all you have to say is, "God said it so. God said it so. God said it so." And this is what he does. The said accounts for the so. The so is the said put in the present continuum. I'll say it again. The said accounts for the so. The so is the said put into, I'll say this, continual present. The so. It's his ongoing life. Ongoing life. He said it, it was so. Said rides on so's back. So can't do it without say it. If you don't say it, it can't be so. Did you hear what I said? If it can't be so unless you say it. Can't be so unless you say it. That's why we have to change the way we talk. That's why we have to change our conversation. Because our conversation has not been very productive. It has not brought forth those things that are rightfully due the believers in Christ. God's got a plan for his people. And the plan rides on hearing his voice. The speaking voice that he has. We are surrounded by the voice of God. Surrounded by it, even while you're sitting right there. God's word. And he speaks to us. And we know that God speaks to us through prayer. God speaks to us through the Bible. God speaks to us through circumstances. In the past, he spoke through dreams, visions. He spoke through a burning bush, which is in the atmosphere. He could have spoke to anything. And you see, don't think that a burning bush is a strange thing because it's burning and God's voice comes out of it. That's not the miracle. The miracle that it didn't burn up. Because in Moses' time, it was nothing to see a tumbleweed burning already, rolling as it got too hot in the heat. You can see that in California today. Just ride down the street and you see tumbleweed just burning, just catch right on fire. But the unique thing was that the tree would not burn, the bush would not burn up, and then a voice came out of it. God's voice is everywhere. You think that's unique? He spoke through a donkey. He uses anything that can produce his voice. Because his voice is so involved in the atmosphere. Don't you know that if God moved his voice out of the atmosphere, we would go up in smoke? I'll say it again. He upholds all things by the word of his power, or the power of his word. Everything you see out there now is being held together because of what he said. Everything is still being. When he said, let there be light, it has not changed. Still light out there. God has a purpose. You see? And so we need to understand that God does speak. But he has a unique way of drawing us to him. The Bible says that it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. He does great and wonderful things for us just so we can say, Lord, I'm sorry. Well, all that is the doorknob. And once you say, I'm sorry, the door opens because the opening door represents repentance. Once you get repentance, then you can go through the door. And when you get repentance, then you become a candidate to hear the voice of God. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. And I know theirs. That's what he said. Now, we can say that he knows everybody's voice. But he's not speaking in those terms. Even though he has that ability, he's not speaking in those terms. He's speaking in terms of having a loving relationship with me. I know you, you know me. I can't know you without having an intimate relationship. You can't know me without having an intimate relationship. And so if we didn't understand it, Jesus inferred us to verse 15. I think he said that in John chapter 10. And he said that in verse 15, he said, I and the Father know each other. I know him, he know me. He showed us this is the kind of intimacy that is demanded of us in our relationship. And relationship is a little bit deeper because the true meaning of relationship is embedded in this statement that a relationship marks blood or marriage. You're either connected to me by blood or by marriage. Well, I don't want to tell you that we're supposed to be married to Jesus. So you got to stop dating Jesus. You can't know Jesus by dating him, by going out on a date every now and then, picking up a Bible every now and then, going to a church every now and then, and going to a revival every now and then, saying hallelujah every now and then, and thank you, Jesus, every now and then. No, he said, that's not the way we do this. I got to know you. You got to know me. So it is a complete unifying of marriage and blood. Either you kin to me or I'm going to make you kin to me. I'm going to be kin to you by blood or I'm going to be kin to you by marriage. That's what Jesus said. He said, I know my sheep. They know me. They know my voice. That's unique because if you've ever seen sheep with a shepherd, I've seen sheep get mixed up. I seen one shepherd come in and grazing. He bring another set of sheep, a whole gorge full of sheep, and they mix together, start eating. But when one is getting ready to leave, he whistles and he uses his voice. Come on! And all of his sheep separate from the others. They're not like dogs who like to hang around and sniff on one another. Sheep ain't got time for that. Sheep say, give me the grass, let me hit it. I just want to eat and go. My shepherd is calling me. And all he does is call, they know his voice. And when he separates, his sheep separate from the pack. Follow their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I hear the voice of my shepherd. I know he's got plans for me. When he calls me, I want to hear him call me. And I want to respond after he calls me so that he can hear my voice. Say, yes, master. See, we jump into this thing called Christianity and we think everything is so easy. We don't want to cultivate nothing. You got to cultivate a relationship with the Lord. You got to do some things. You can't hear from God without reading and praying. You got to read and pray. Because for the most part, what God will speak, listen to me now, what God will speak to you, he speaks it to you according to the word that's in you. And all he's speaking to you is what you already got on the inside. And all you got to say is yes and amen. Huh? He speaks according to what's in you. Speaks it to you. You understand him. It becomes easier to listen to his voice when you're praying and reading. Because he's going to try you. And let me tell you, Romans chapter 5 says this. Says that through one man, sin entered into this world. Boy, that thing got me. Got me. I said, well, I can see this. Because you listen to what he says. Through one man, sin entered into the world. I'll show it to you. I don't have to show it to you. I can elaborate by showing you myself. Roy, go out that door. And come back in. Now, here come Roy. He's clean, but Roy got something on his jacket. He don't know it. What Roy has on his jacket has just now permeated this whole room that quick. Just like that. All it wanted was an opening to come in the door. It's already here. All sin was waiting for was for man to fall so that it can step right into this three-dimensional realm and cause death and mayhem. You have in your home spiders. You've seen the web. Don't look at me like you live modestly. You got a spider. I don't care what your name is. You got spiders in your house. The Bible says you can't keep them out. Because the Bible tells you that spiders are even in the king's palace. I said spider. I said number of roaches. And you want to ask yourself, well, how did that spider get in my house? He jumped on something. He jumped on something. He got a ride. Got a ride in your house, and they know exactly what they're doing. When they get in the house, they jump right off. Well, through one man, sin entered into this world, and everything failed. Now, when this happened, guess what occurs? Satan develops a voice. He develops a voice now. See, his voice is no longer limited to the garden. Wow. His voice is no longer limited to just the garden. Now he has entered into the realm where he can spread his wings. He can really take sin anywhere he wants to. How do I know? Remember in Job, he made this statement. When the sons of God came before the throne of God, Satan came with them, and God asked them, where you been? He said, walking up and down through the earth. Sow, look at what I can do. He's no longer limited to the garden. Now he can go anywhere he wants to. He has access because of sin through one man. Adam's disobedience gave sin entrance into this realm. You don't think disobedience is a bad thing, huh? Because you don't do what God told you to do. How can you do it if you don't hear him? But let me tell you something. You're not hearing God. It's not God's fault. That's not God's fault because you disobey. Because you can't hear what God's telling you to do. There's one intrinsic thing that you need to understand that's on the inside of man. In Ecclesiastes, God says, I have put eternity in the hearts of men. You know in your heart what's right and what's wrong. There is no excuse. You cannot say the devil made me do it. No, you did it because you felt like doing it. You overrode God's will to do what you wanted to do. So now, because we live in a predominantly sinful hearing environment, man has to condition himself to receive the speaking voice. We live in a predominantly sinful hearing environment. What do I mean? Like you said, Pastor, the voice is all over the place now. See, sin opened the door for a whole lot of rhetoric, a whole lot of talking, a whole lot of sinful advice. See, Satan, once he got in and got to this place, he knew what God does. He already understood that God had the speaking voice. He's aware of it. He's acquainted with that. And the only thing Satan would like better to do is to copycat what God is doing. That's why he can speak a vision in you and you think it's God. Because he is good at what he does. Satan is no chump. He knows how to sound just like God. He can sound exactly like God. He just can't tell the truth like God. Because he's perverted in all his ways. But that's not what he's concerned about. He's concerned only that if you don't know the word, you can't tell the difference. Good God Almighty. If you don't know the word, you don't know it's him. So he says things, he'll say things to us, and we'll grab it just like fish in water. Because we think that that's what God is saying. But this angel of light is able to duplicate the voice of God. He can even duplicate your voice in your thought life. Satan is the master of suggestion. He doesn't have you, but he'll suggest to you. And it's up to you to know the difference between right and wrong or truth and lie and make up your mind. What are you going to do? You got to have a word. Got to have a word because Satan will come in and he's a counterfeiter. He's a liar. He's a counterfeiter. He'll do whatever he can to get us in that position. When that sin entered in, our language failed. Hearing of God's voice diminished to verbal communication. Now God got to talk to us. Sometimes he had to talk louder. Because sometimes God speaks to us in a still small voice. Ooh. Listen to that now. The still small voice. Where did that come about? That began with Elijah. Elijah was about to call it quits. Elijah just been run out of town by Jezebel. He had just done a miraculous thing. He called down fire from heaven. Now all of a sudden he gets this threatening letter from Jezebel I said, man, I'm about to get you. Same way I did them other prophets, I'm going to do you just like that. Now, I don't think that Elijah ran because of fear. I believe that Elijah ran because he was exhausted. He was beat down. But you got to understand, here's a man of God who just stood before 400 prophets. He called down fire from heaven. And fire licked up all his water. He was doing a lot of work. You got to understand, Elijah is an extraordinary man. He's a physical specimen. He likes it rough. He don't play. He speaks the word with emotion. He's loud. The Bible says John the Baptist was just like him. He was dressed in camel's hair. He was rough and burly. That's why when God showed him himself, and God said when he showed him in the mountain, it wasn't God. When he showed him in the fire, it wasn't God. When he showed him in the wind, it wasn't God. God showed him all his rough stuff because that's what Elijah's used to. He's used to it rough like that. But it wasn't in none of them. Bible says, but it was in a still, small voice. One thing I can guarantee you, Satan will never speak to you in a still, small voice. He's too proud for that. Or he's still prideful. And what Satan will do, he will talk to you fast and loud. Fast and loud. Oh, you need to do this. You need to go there and get this. Go ahead and get this. You know it's your time to do this. Go do this. Come on now. It's time for you to do this. You know it's time. Come on now. And he talks so fast that he becomes convincing. And our minds are not quick enough to wrap ourselves around his conversation. And so we go along with it because it's fast. You know they're talking about you. They're over there laughing at you right now. You ought to be look at them over there. People ain't thinking about you. But he'll tell you they're over there talking about you right now. Folk don't even know you, but they over there talking about you right now. Go get the gun. See, that's the phrase. He uses that phrase often. And the same phrase, go get the gun. If you don't end it yourself, end it with them. If I was you, he'll tell you like this. If I was you, I'd kill every one of them. See, he talks fast and loud. And your mind can't grasp it so fast, but the only thing you do is obey it. Because you're a spirit. And a spirit will take hold of something spiritual quickly and act without reserve and do something. Get the gun and kill it. Kill yourself. Jump out the window. Set it on fire. Blow it up. That's not a still small voice. See, that's why it behooves us. When you sit before the Lord, sit there. Don't do all the talking all the time. You pray, but you know you don't have to do all the talking all the time. Let God talk sometime. Let God say something to you. Let God tell you where you need to straighten some things out and get some things together. See, because unless you sit down before him, you'll never know if you're pliable or not. You know what silly putty does. Can God stretch you like he wants to without you crying? Without you saying, Lord, why me? Can he twist you around and make you what he wants you to be? You remember the potter and the clay? Can the clay say to the potter, why are you doing me like this? No. The potter's in control. And God wants to see if he can be in control of your life. See, our greatest hindrance to being in a position of hearing from God is this. We don't love God enough that we pursue him to hear his voice like he pursues us. He's hard after us. He runs you down just to hear your voice. But we don't do the same for him because we're surrounded by so much noise and so many voices. We really don't have time for God. Let me ask this question because the Holy Spirit told me to ask you all this. If you knew you were going to lose your job next year, on this day, what would you do? Good question. Holy Spirit, what would you do? You see, because the reason he asked me is because he said that how can you hear when you can't even sacrifice? You can't sacrifice. It's hard to hear God when you're not willing to give up something. You're not willing to give up anything. Huh? Now listen to what he says. Look at all your bills. And you make up your mind right then. What bills would you be able to get out of the way before next year comes? Mm-hmm. Okay. What would you be able to do as far as savings and sacrifices would you be able to do by next year this time? Guess what? He used the word that I forget the Holy Spirit is right here where we are. He said, ask him about the cable. This is the Holy Spirit now. It's the Holy Spirit. I never think the Holy Spirit would ask about cable. But God is concerned about everything. Listen to what he says. Tell the congregation, write down how much their cable bill is every month and multiply it by 12. Go ahead. You can go ahead and do it. I'm not looking at your handwriting, but you know what you do. You know. Go ahead and add it up. How much? Okay, so you have a $780. Okay, but you have $780. You have $1,500. A year? I mean, that would be a year from now. That's your total bill for a year? 12 months. Listen to this. Guess what your benefits would be if you were to sacrifice. Listen now. Because that's a sacrifice to most of us, because we have made that a necessity. It's no longer a pleasure. Television is no longer a pleasure. It's a necessity now. Y'all just adding up. Y'all still adding up stuff. Listen to what God says. God says this. If you cut your cable off for a year, not only will you save money, but God will give you time that you don't realize that you're missing out on. God will give you prayer time that you're missing out on. You'll become a better believer through your prayer life. Secondly, your family will be better able to come together and perhaps even get saved, because there's no distraction in your house. You spend more time with God. Then you have money. The money you say you can't give to God now, this is the question he asked me. I'm telling you, and he shook my heart when he said this. If you are paying more for a bill than you're paying for your tithe, might as well keep on beeping. Think about it. See how much we're cheating God, and we're wondering why we can't hear from him? When all God is saying is, I will make your life more beneficial if you get control of your life. See, right now, you don't have control over cable. Cable got control over you. Yes, Here you got money going to cable that you can put in the missionary field, that you can increase in the church, that we can move into a building just like that. Ain't that a good question that the Lord asked? See, I'm not saying that's what you have to do. I don't want nobody to be condemned when they leave this building. But you know what I've done? I've sown a seed for the future. I sown a seed for the future right now. Because I can't wait for the day when that is not so important to us. That God is more important. God's plan and God's purposes are more important than a cable bill that's killing us. If they came to your house and told you, if you don't get that $300 down here by 3 o'clock Friday, we going to cut you off, and it's going to cost you more to get it cut back on. We be running down the cops. Running down the cops. Running down there. I think we're going to leave it right there. Leave it right there. Go on. See? And listen. Listen to what David said. You know what David said? When David's at the floor of Araunah, and Araunah wanted to repay David, and he said, David, no, you don't have to pay me to get this. You don't have to give me no money, because he's tight with David. And David said, no. I will not sacrifice anything that will not have cost me something. See, when you really give, it hurts. When you really start giving, it hurts you. You know, you got the joy of the Lord, but it hurts you, but you got the joy of the Lord. Huh? Yeah, it hurts you to give sometimes. It hurts you. That is the purpose of it. Because no other way can you give sacrificially. A sacrifice hurts. I'm doing something I don't feel like doing on my inside. But you got to understand the word of God is right. Say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is indeed weak. Spirit say, go ahead and do it. Spirit don't feel no pain. But your flesh, he itching and scratching. No, I can't do that. We are going to continue next week hearing from God. It is just, God is moving this body into another place where I want to tell you, you are as safe as you're going to be. This is a safe place. See, it's a safe place. It's a good place. God is doing great things. All you have to do is wait on the Lord. Be patient. Watch what God will do. Hallelujah. God's going to bring your families together. But you got to be patient. Wait on the Lord. God's going to do what he said he's going to do. He's going to give you breakthroughs if you're just patient enough to wait on it. God is not a man that he would lie. He's got a plan. And if he started it, then he's going to finish it. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we have been as transparent towards you today and as open to each other as we've been possibly in a while, because, Lord, you're dealing with us. And you're dealing with us in a real way. We are just so glad to be your children, so glad to serve you. We thank you, Lord, that you're concerned about every area of our lives, everything and anything that you can do to shore us up in our life, Lord, we know that you will. We come before you today, Lord, with a spirit of surrender, and we just say yes to your will. Lord, that you would move into our lives, that you would, as we hear your voice and you hear ours, that as you knock, that we'll hear. As you open the door, we'll come through. We'll let you in. Father, that you can come in and sup have dinner with us, be a part of our lifestyle. Lord, we know we have to pursue you. We ask that you help us in this love relationship. Help us to love you more. Help us to chase hard after you. Give us a deep desire, Lord, to hear your voice and you hear ours. We want to be heard as much as we want to hear. Father, every family that's represented here now, Lord, we know that word and words were sprinkled. Let he that has ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And so, Father, we thank you. We give you praise. Strengthen us, Lord, if there's a point in our lives where we must become sacrificial in our lives. We need to hear more from you. Lord, there may be someone here today who's coming to this place and they're not quite sure about their relationship with you. They can't really sit down at a table and explain to someone their relationship with God Almighty.